Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing? Episode 36. That's right. 36. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Yes, that's right. 36. I almost said 36 Mafia, but that's not the same as 36. So as you can tell, this podcast is starting off on the right foot. What's up, everybody? As always, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Again, it's still growing. It's still growing, people. It's Tuesday. I have my show at the Southern going down in about 3 hours. So I wanted to get the podcast up before I took off and hosted that. But I had a great weekend of shows. I went down to Richmond on Friday and I did a panel with my boy Steve Howes and a couple other comics. It's called Just Saying, and we kind of riffed on some different news topics. That was a lot of fun, so shout out to Steve Howes and Jim Zarling down at the Coalition Theater. I know neither one of those dudes listened to my podcast, but hey, shout out anyway. Then Saturday, I had some good friends drive me down or up to Vienna, Virginia, which is just outside of D.C., and we did a really dope gig out there at this place called Jam and Java. And they have a lot of really, really popular bands that go there and do concerts, but they also do comedy. And that was probably one of the dopest shows I've done in quite a while. So shout out to Ben and Danny Charlie for putting me on that show. They let me close it out. Someone was there recording, so I should have footage of that set. I wanted to use it as like an audition tape, but things kind of went off the rails. I did a lot of crowd work, and I brought one of the other comics up on stage. So I don't think it would be a great audition tape, but I might still upload it to YouTube and show people what it looks like when you kind of go off script, I guess, because most people just used to seeing regular comedy where you don't interact with the crowd. But I might just upload it just so people can see what it's like when I riff. And that's when I feel like I'm at my best, when I can kind of go in and out of material and just have fun. And that's what I did. So shout out to Jam and Java. Shout out to Danny and Ben and the Beckhams for giving me a ride. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And my boy Tyler came out, who I haven't seen in almost a year. Him and his new wife came to the show. He happened to be in D.C. for a few weeks. And him and his wife came out. So shout out to Papa Smoke and Mama Smoke for coming out. And so I guess towards the end of this episode, I have a couple emails that I'll talk about. But the hot topics this week are Kim Davis. I'm pretty sure everyone knows who she is. She's the county clerk down in, I believe, Grayson, Kentucky, who refused to issue same-sex license marriages. Oh, I'm sorry, marriage licenses. I got that backwards. And she was in jail. Once an injunction came down, and they told her, like, hey, bitch, do your goddamn job. She was like, nope. They were like, all right, cool. And they locked her up. They put her in the slammer. And today they caved in and they fucking freed her. And I mean, now she's being treated like she's some goddamn hero, you know. I mean, I saw the interview with her and her lawyer, and she's like clinging to his arm, you know, like she can barely walk. Kind of like Michael Jordan in the flu game. Like, she was just being beaten and raped and just tortured in some shitty county jail for 6 days. Like, she's some fucking hero. It's just disgusting. At first, she said she would go in there for as long as she had to. And then, like, 4 days in, she was asking the governor to free her. It's like, really? I thought you were a real Christian, ma'am. Because a real Christian would have stayed in there forever. If your conscience is that strong, you would have stayed in there for fucking ever. What was the problem, Miss Davis? Was that cross getting a little too heavy? Was it getting too heavy for you? You couldn't go along? You couldn't go through with it? Couldn't do it? I mean, what if Jesus gave up when he was carrying his cross to be crucified? What if he was like, you know what? I think I'm good. I think I'm good. This throne of thorns is really killing me. My back's hurting. I'm putting this sucker down, folks. Sorry. I was supposed to die for you guys, but these sandals have no support. I can't do it. Sorry, everybody. I was supposed to die for your sins, but not today. The old Son of God is taking a break. See you on the other side, and just walked off. So I'm disappointed. I am highly disappointed in Kim Davis not following through with her Christian beliefs and taking this all the way to her death. That's what a true Christian would have stayed in there and for the long haul. And also, take that, Nelson Mandela. Boom, 6 fucking days. What are you doing wrong, sir? It took you 27 years. It only took her 6 days. So there. What were you doing? What were you doing the other 26 years, 350 some odd days? Because I can't do the math that fast. I can't. 365, 48. Is that it? 358? 6, 7? I can't. Well, listen, I'm going to do the math. Slow down. 365 minus 6. 59. Boom. 359. What were you doing for 26 years and 359 days? Twiddling your thumbs. You probably just didn't want to go back and see Winnie. Did you? You could have been out in less. She did it in less than a week. Less than a week, sir. All that grandstanding. But it's just sad. Honestly, it's just sad to see, a bigot become a hero, you know? And I saw another interesting story where there's a woman, I want to say it was in Michigan. She works for a small airline, and 2 years ago she converted to Islam, and she worked as a flight attendant. And up until, about a month ago, she stopped serving alcohol on the flights because she found out that it was against her religion to even serve it. I guess she wasn't aware. You know, she didn't think it was an issue when someone was like, hey, you really technically can't even serve alcohol to other people. And she worked out an agreement with her company with some other flight attendants. That was disgusting. She worked out an agreement with the company, other flight attendants, to have them serve alcohol to customers that wanted to partake in libations. Yeah, you like that word, don't you? Libations. So, and that worked out for a while until one of the co-workers complained, and they were like, hey, you know, we really can't do this anymore. And she was suspended for not performing her duties. And since it's a small airline, there are a few flights where she would be the only flight attendant. And if someone on the flight wanted alcohol, she would have to serve it because the captain can't do it. It's like, hey, ma'am, could you come and hold this stick right here until I pour this dude a Jim Beam? It's like, that's not how that shit works. You can't have the pilot doing that shit. And my question is, where are all the Kim Davis right-wing, nut job, religious freedom folks in this case? Where are they at, folks? I mean, this woman has deep-rooted beliefs in her religion. She can't serve alcohol, right? Where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at supporting this woman, trying to help this woman get her job back? Her deep-rooted faith won't allow her to serve alcohol. Oh, shit, she's Muslim and black. That shit ain't gonna happen. And see, that's my biggest problem with this, is the fact that this isn't gonna be across the board. This whole religious freedom, it's not across the board. It's only white Christians that are allowed to do this type of thing. That's what bothers me. Now, if everyone could make exemptions for their religion, I'm all for it. But the fact of the matter, that's not true. How come this woman's case doesn't have as much national attention. It should. Her civil rights are being violated as an American. She shouldn't have to do that. But the few people that I have seen respond to that case, she needs to find another job. Wow. Why? Because she's Muslim. Because she's not white. It's weird. And I love the fact that they think that in this Kim Davis case that they feel like their state constitution overrides the federal constitution. And then Mike Huckabee's got his fucking fake Johnny Sack looking ass trying to cling on to this story, trying to get FaceTime, calling Supreme Court evil. They're just making stuff up out of the thin air. Who do they think they are? It's like, really? This is the same evil Supreme Court that right-wingers have been running to for the last couple years trying to get Obamacare overturned. Now, if they overturned it, would they respect it? I mean, this is the same fucking evil Supreme Court. It's just funny with these people, man, with these right-wing people. As soon as they can't get what they want, all of a sudden, the government sucks. It doesn't work. Who does the Supreme Court think they are? Now, all of a sudden, the Supreme Court's overreaching its boundaries. Now, they don't answer to the Supreme Court. They answer to God's court. It's in the Constitution that no law should be passed respecting anyone's religion. I used to think this was a Christian country. It's not. I'm sorry. The majority of the people may be Christian, but as far as on paper, it's not a Christian country. Point blank. It's just how it is. So, I mean, people just need to deal with it. Either do your job or find another one. It's really that simple. Same with the Muslim flight attendant. Get another fucking job. Or find another job within the company where you don't have to serve alcohol. But if you can't serve alcohol, guess what? You can't be a flight attendant. If the federal judge, if the Supreme Court passes a law saying, hey, you have to issue same-sex couples a marriage license, and your religious convictions won't allow you to do that, then you need to find another fucking job. Point blank. I mean, people talk about slippery slopes. If we allow gay people to get married, then some dude's going to want to marry a cat or a horse or a chair. Well, I believe this is a slippery slope. Then you just start granting people exemptions due to their religious beliefs. I'm pretty sure it can get crazy. I don't want to do that. It's against my religion. I'm not doing that. I don't have to wash my hands after I take a shit. I don't care if I'm a chef at a 5-star restaurant. It's against my religion to wash my hands after I take a shit. Sorry. I'm going to get back over here and make these Caesar salads. You know how people out here, they'll just start making shit up. And I'm actually for it at this point. Just to see the shit go off the rails. I want to see it get crazy. I want to see the same people that are pushing for this go, wait a minute, this can't happen. I want to see them start denying other people their religious beliefs just so I can call them on their bullshit. I would find that very fun to do. So I guess pretty much as far as like stuff I wanted to talk about, I guess that's it. But so I guess I can get to my emails. And the first email asks, how do I feel about, how relationships are portrayed on TV? And I believe I touched on this on a very, very early podcast episode. But I feel like almost with any entertainment, television, relationships are just over-dramatized. And no one ever puts themselves in the other person's shoes. You know, you look at all these rom-coms and just love stories in general. You usually see the, like, I can't think of that movie. I think it had Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs in it, and they were into the music. He was into the music industry. Basically, because people might not get the reference. Basically, the story where you have a male, female, best friends grow up together, go off to college, and either the male or female ends up with someone else, and they're in love, and all this kind of stuff. They're going to get married, or things are getting very, very serious. Then the other person realized that, hey, I'm in love with this person. I've been in love with them ever since I was 10 years old. And the couple ends up breaking up, and the longtime friends become lovers, and they live happily ever after. For the most part, I'm going to just talk about from a woman's perspective, I guess, even though I'm not. Just looking at it for women. Most women, when they watch that, they don't put themselves in the shoes of the other chick. They see themselves as the Sanaa Lathan or whoever the female lead in the act or book or whoever, the movie, I mean. They always see themselves as the woman who gets the guy in the end. They never see themselves as a woman who gets left. I mean, this ultimately betrayed, because I'm pretty sure in a real situation, this woman was like, I don't know about this woman, man. You know, you guys have been friends for a long time. I think she might have feelings for you, or vice versa, where the female, her boyfriend's like, I don't know about this guy. You guys have known each other for a long time. He probably has feelings for you. And that person's like, no, we're just really good friends. He's like my brother. He's like my sister. I would never want to be with them. And then boom, last minute, like, hey, I got cold feet. I don't want to marry you. That person that I said is kind of like my brother or sister. You're right. I'm in love with them. And they get left at the altar. And then, you know, people never put themselves in the shoes of the other person. I think reality shows, I think a certain type of woman will watch reality shows, and they like all that drama and all that kind of shit that goes on in relationships. And I think there's some women want that whole drama-filled relationship where they're fucking throwing Louboutin shoes at some dude's head in a mansion, you know, peeling off in a Mercedes, cussing out, you know, throwing drinks in women's faces at expensive restaurants and taking trips and I feel like there's women that want that. They see that TV relationship drama and they think it's cool, but I don't really think there's any TV shows out there to actually portray like a real relationship, because I guess it would be too boring for TV. And so I think television has always over-dramatized relationships, and people never really look at the situation from the other person's standpoint. They're always the one winning in the end. You know, they always get the guy or get the girl. And which leads to the other question, you know, what's more important, love or money? And that's a personal thing, man. I'll say this, all relationships evolve. I don't even know. Personally, I feel like it evolves past a love thing once you get married. Because it's like, yeah, I love my wife, but it's just like, it's bigger than that, you know? It's almost hard to explain. It's almost like that person becomes part of you. And it just really evolves past a feeling that you can put into words, you know? Yeah, there's no way to describe it where that person, it would be like losing a limb or one of your senses. But money, I mean, that shit comes and goes, man. And I would like to have love and money, you know, with my comedy career. I would, you know, hope to one day make very good money doing comedy. I mean, more than I could ever imagine. And there's no person I would rather give half that money to than but. Now, honestly, there's no person I would rather go through that journey of being where we are now to, you know, like everybody else. It's like, ooh, I don't know, you know, every 2 weeks to like, hey, we have, I mean, a substantial amount of money to where we could help our entire family, you know, and it not even not even be an issue at all. I'm talking about the type of money where you can, I mean, pay off your parents' houses and all their debt and that kind of stuff. And it's not even, it's like a drop in the bucket to you. And there's no person I would rather experience that with than the person who was with me from the beginning. So some people do marry for love. Some people do marry for money. I think you can go wrong in both cases, because sometimes you really might not be in love and that person's money situation isn't guaranteed. So, I mean, you can't really marry for looks either, because that shit goes away. So I think ultimately you kind of have to marry for who's going to make you happy. And I just feel like, again, that love thing kind of evolves into something bigger. And I don't have a word for that. So I would never marry for looks exclusively or money exclusively. It would have to be somebody that I could raise kids with and trust ultimately. I mean, because when I have my millions of dollars, I need someone I know is there for me, and I know it's my wife. So there's a show. That's a show. Thank you guys again. Follow me on, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm talking like that, looking at my phone. So follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN, Chris Allen Comedy, on all things social media. And the email is NegroPleaseRadio@gmail.com. One more time, NegroPleaseRadio@gmail.com and at Chris Allen Comedy on all things social media. There's a show. That's the show, folks. Peace out. See y'all next week.